The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Your introduction, ladies and gentlemen, to Meshuggah News, the Cultural Crackdown Edition. Plus, we're going to look at a DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, called Say What? I want you to understand what YouTube 2-Minute Christian Perspective is from the Spoon Experience point of view. Probably a little bit of trivia and something else strange.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. It's always good. You know, surviving is when you're in the water and you're treading water, right? That's kind of like the survival place. Living means that you are floating on a raft on the water, so you're not drowning, but you're just floating, but you're living. And then prevailing is when you're walking on top of the water. So that's the difference between those three. Surviving, living, and prevailing. Also, we're going to cover politics. Yes, we are. Entertainment and current events. Personal revelation, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. And we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation because it's the David Spoon Experience across between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Okay, couple things. Before I do my read for Big John, we're going to wait 1 second. I want to say that if you're watching us live on YouTube, what? You are welcome to. The problem in YouTube that I found out is that in between breaks, when I'm not talking, they don't hear any of the sounds. Ah, did you know that? I didn't know that.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, well, apparently I don't know anything about that either, is what's taking place. So we might be switching that out to Facebook. So if you're listening on YouTube and you decide, I'd rather hear all the little sounds, it might be better off. You might be better off listening to it through the internet, through the station directly. That's up to you. I'll let you guys make that choice. All right, now that I've said that, let's talk a little bit about our big sponsor, John.
Big John. Big John.
John is the owner of the Blessed Roofing Company, and we are in the works of making his first commercial. I should have some kind of idea of what that's looking like tomorrow, I think, and I don't know if we're going to play a rough cut or not. We'll kind of play around with that. But anyway, to get information about the roofing company, you go to the blessedroofingcompany.com website. Now, it's super easy, and I've made this point before. If you walk into a house, you certainly want that roof to be blessed, because if it's not blessed, you first. Okay, so the idea there is that you want the roof to be blessed, the Blessed Roofing Company. John started off in the roofing company, and the Lord went, bam! I like that phrase, huh? Bam! Anyway, he went bam, and then John got blessed, and he realized his company used to be the Blessed Roofing Company. 469 Blessed. 469 Blessed. So if you're driving and you're thinking roofing company, roofing company, somebody's blessed about that. Right, 469 Blessed. Get in touch with John. Tell him you heard it here on the David Spoon Experience. I have an exciting another announcement coming up. Two or three days, I'm getting a chance to meet together with another client on Thursday. So, yeah, that's kind of cool. I like stuff like that. All righty. I will tell you, we are working a little bit towards branding And you're thinking, well, what is that? Well, that means this. If you want to reach the show now, you can call 972-445-0770. Now, what can you do if you call the show? Well, you can ask for prayer. I'll be glad to pray for you on the air or off the air. You can give a praise report. Entirely up to you. No questions asked. You can also just talk. Bring us some things in general. Say, hey, this came across this, and I was wondering about this. We're going to make that so that you are comfortable with that. I talked with my wife, and we figured out that the best way on our trivia questions is going to be to get a few gift cards that we can put in an envelope and send via mail, because I'm going to have to pay for it, and the odds of me paying more than a stamp, pretty low. So a stamp I might be able to do, but the other things might be sponsors, you know, paying for those little cards. Sponsoring our trivia. See?
Very good.
That's business of radio. You're thinking, well, wait, shouldn't all that stuff be free? Sure. And your salvation should be free too, right? Okay, well, it is, except it costs the blood of Jesus Christ, so we'll deal with that at another point. I do want to let you know our email, currently davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. We've made some little changes over the weekend. I've been a busy guy. And it's going to be david@spoonexperience.com. And the website's going to be spoonexperience.com. And the Twitter's going to be david@spoonexperience. And if you go to Facebook and type in Spoon Experience, the first 9 of them are us. So we're definitely heading in the right direction and getting that stuff put together. It doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen. All right. Now I'm going to introduce you to a new segment, and some of you are not going to like it that much. And so for those that don't like it, I'm not going to ask your apology, but I am going to tell you, bear with it, because some segments you will like more than others. Pretty much like in church, you like some parts of the sermon that really work for you, and then when they start talking about Leviticus chapter 10, 11, and 12 or get into the mold, you're like, it happens. It's a part of life. Relax. None of it's bad, but some of it's a little more applicable, unless mold is applicable in your personal life, and then you might find it interesting. Here is the introduction to the sound for Meshuggah News.
The Meshuggah News. Meshuggah News.
Okay, so you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, first of all, we know there was big news over the weekend and so on and so forth, but what is Meshuggah News? So I am Jewish in my upbringing. I am Jewish by law and Christian by faith. And in my world, I look at the news and I think, yeah, it's all Meshuggah. It's all like ridiculous. There's this and there's this. There's only one really good section of good news anywhere, and that comes through Jesus Christ. But news is aplenty. And for those that want a commentary on what happened with Donald Trump, there are two commentaries on YouTube. One has to do with how Christians should approach the president, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. Ooh, challenging, huh? And then the other one has to do with the Mueller decision. If you go to YouTube and type in Spoon Experience, you can get that information off of that. This story, however, is classic Meshuggah News. San Antonio, is that's not Dallas, right? I'm not genius, right?
No. It's like 6 hours up the road.
It's 6 hours up the road. Which direction? Is it to
south?
So it's not towards Canada?
No.
Okay. Good to remember that. San Antonio bans Chick-fil-A from the airport because, I want you to know what's going on, because of their lack of LGBTQ support. They have banned Chick-fil-A. Now, for those that do not know, Chick-fil-A is the number one fast food in America in 10 straight votes. I mean, they'd be winning. There's no question. And what happened is a group called Think Progress, which really should be more, you know, more of a progression towards secularism, highlighted that Chick-fil-A gave $1.8 million in donations to Christian groups. And because they gave money to Christian groups, therefore, they are anti-gay. That was the conclusion of Think Progress. So Think Progress then complained to San Antonio and the positions of putting different kiosks in the airport and said, we can't have Chick-fil-A. They're anti-LGBTQ because they've given to Christian groups. Now, let me help you understand what this really means and kind of give you that overall breakdown. If you have given to the church, you are in that group that have received that have given funds to a group that does not support LGBTQ. Here is the problem. It would be one thing if Chick-fil-A had given this money in order to be in opposition to LGBTQ. But it's entirely different for them to give money and say, we support teaching the Bible. But how it's interpreted is that if you don't come out and full support, then you're the enemy thereof. So I want to help you out because this is really, really important. I, as a hockey fan, was born in Detroit. I was in Olympia Stadium when I was 6 months old in diapers. I am pro Detroit Red Wing, even though they're breaking my heart the last 2 years. But they did make the playoffs 25 straight years. So, you know, I got a lot to lean on. I am not anti-Dallas Stars. I'm just pro-Detroit. But the way it's being interpreted is, I hate the Dallas Stars because I like the Red Wings. And it's like, okay, I'm going to be really honest. I'm not even familiar with the Dallas Stars. Don't get mad at me. I'm still new here. But the idea is that you can't be for something because that immediately makes you against everything else it's not. So if you are for your husband or your wife or your dog, if you're for your dog, you're anti-cat. Now, that might be true for some of you, but the idea is to understand the ridiculousness that if you don't give full on, so you know, it was Barack Obama. So if you're not supporting it, you're haters. You're against it. He didn't use the word haters, but he said you're against it. It's like, I don't have to support something that I don't agree with. It doesn't make me a hater. It makes me a person that can make a decision between a hamburger and a chicken sandwich. That's what it makes me. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break and then coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy, too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now, and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
What is the purpose of human creation? God was bored and wanted a Tinker Toy set to play with. He wanted a Petri dish to look at so he can go, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, as opposed to the mindset that says, well, this whole thing is a divine experiment. The Lord was bored, impossible to be bored if you're not stuck by time, by the way. Oh, you didn't think of that, right? Because he's not bound by time. The purpose of human creation ultimately is four words. Here we go. The purpose of creation for humanity? To fellowship with God.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Yeah, I like that. Here in Texas. You know what I like about that? It's strong, right? So that's strong. It's like here in Texas. You don't hear me going here in California, the land of the fruits and the nuts. You hear me going here in Texas, right? I got a truck. Right?
Now everything's bigger in Texas.
Yeah. Now, if I just get my dog to be less of a scaredy cat and an actual dog, we'd really be in business. By the way, if you want to reach the show, 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. You're probably sitting there thinking, well, okay, where's the Bible teaching? It's coming. Relax. In that segment, if you heard in between there where I said it was the man was created for the fellowship of God, I wasn't trying to exclude Isaiah 42 where it says we were created for the glory of God. I was kind of using the fellowship of God in that broadest context within the framework of that fellowship is our creation purposes for the glory of God. It just wasn't in the clip. So you're just going to have to get over that one. If you want to, you can currently – it's so confusing to tell you this, so I'll tell you this way. If you want to say anything at all, go to davidspoon.com or spoonexperience.com and just – there's a comment page. Leave a comment. It's like the easiest thing to do. If you want to go to comment off of Facebook, go to David Spoon, the David Spoon Experience, Spoon Experience. It's all there. Same thing. It's all good. And that's the best way to do it. Our future email, david@spoonexperience.com as we kind of retool our branding, which is kind of a fun way to do it. All right, let's get into our next DDD. This is actually going to be an interesting Bible teaching, I think. I hope it is. It's something that I got in my devotions today. And this is the kind of stuff that I like to do, is I like to be prepared to come into the studio and have something to share, something that is biblical of nature and that's beneficial towards your relationship and towards my relationship. And it's not towards the Lord. And it's not just me going blah, 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 blah. When I'm telling you guys different things, I'm hearing it again, a second time, a third time. And in my mind and in my heart, I'm processing it. And I'm thinking, yeah, I gotta use this. I got to do this. And so that's what takes place. So when I'm reading in my devotions in the morning and something stands out, kind of leaps off the page, then it's like, that's really – I got to think this through. So this is entitled Say What? Okay, like say what? Like, that's when you're like going, what? You know what I'm saying? All right. So this comes out of Malachi chapter 3. Now – I know there's not a ton of teaching in Malachi that's not prophetic, but there's a lot of good stuff in here. So let's look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi, by the way, for those that don't know, 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Okay? And again, when your pastor says turn to the book of Hezekiah, there is no book of Hezekiah. It's always a joke, a great proverb joke amongst pastors, just to let you know. All right, Malachi chapter 3, and this will start in verse 13. You have said terrible – okay, here's what the Lord says. You have said terrible things about me, says the Lord. But you say, what do you mean? How have we spoken against you? You have said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying his commands or by trying to show the Lord Almighty that we're sorry for our sins? From now on, we'll say, blessed are the arrogant, for those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them go free of harm. Oh, remind me about that lightning thing. Okay, after this, remind me about that lightning thing. All right, so what's that text? So Malachi's writing to the people of Israel, and he's like, okay, let's be on the same page here. You guys are whining. It's not a good whine. It's a bad whining. And he's like, you're whining. And they're like, what? What are we saying? What? What are we doing? And he points out three things that they're saying. First, they're saying, what's the use? What have we gained? Or what's the use of serving God? What's the point of serving God? That's how people feel. And let me tell you something. Before you get all holy and righteous and, you know, like you need to wear a white coat, not a robe, a white coat, which, of course, might be turned backwards. The bottom line is this. There's a lot of people that walk around going, what am I doing? This isn't working. I don't know what's taking place. What's the use of this? That's not an uncommon response from people. Now, it's more common amongst people in the flesh than as people walking by the Spirit, but it happens. Like, what's the use of serving God? Now, look at what comes up. What have we gained by obeying his commands? Number one, and by trying to show the Lord Almighty we're sorry for our sins. In other words, what's there an advantage here to me going, I am really sorry I did that? Or what am I gaining? Because in the Lord, I'm not gaining anything. I'm not getting anything in obedience to his commands. I'm not getting a thing out of this. And I'm sorry for my sins, and I'm not seeing any kind of response. And then what Malachi says goes on from there. It says, so you are saying those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them will go free of harm. This is all cynicism. This is all a bitter feeling inside of a person who's frustrated in their walk. And they have this, well, blessed are the arrogant. Forget the humble. Blessed are the arrogant. And those who do evil get rich. Listen to what the question is that Malachi poses, and we're going to deal with this. He says, what are we gaining by obeying the commands? Okay, here it is right there. You're trying to gain what by obeying the commands of God? Let's just be honest. Are you trying to gain money? Uh-oh. Are you trying to gain some financial security? The direct correlation to what do we gain by obeying the commands is those who do evil get rich. That's the correlation. And it's like, yeah, well, I'm serving God and I'm not getting rich. It's like, wait a second. And then there's this part. And those who dare God to punish them, well, they go free. All those people that go, oh, I'm sorry for my sin. For what? When those people say, I'm not sorry for my sin, and look how good they're doing. It's complaining about how God operates as God. This is a big problem that Christians walk in because the devil is sneaky. He gets us to focus on the circumstance, and then because the circumstance doesn't look the way we want it to look, need it to look, or think like it should look, we start complaining. Well, what's the point of serving you? I'm not getting rich from it. I've been sorry for my sins. I'm not getting anything from that, not getting any relief. What is my advantage here? And that's the attitude that the prophet charges against the people of God. I want you to think about that. Let that sink in. The prophet's not saying this to unbelievers. He's saying it to believers. He's saying it to the people of God. You guys are thinking this. You guys are saying this. And here's a real big secret. You know, when you thought that thought, God saw it. When you think, well, I didn't say anything, therefore I'm not guilty. Wrong answer. He knows everything on the inside and on the outside. So when you, as a human being, have the complaint against God, and even though you don't verbalize it, it registers in you, and you hold it, it's yours. And it's mine. I do the same thing. Don't misunderstand. There are times when I go, what are you doing? Have you ever said to the Lord, just be honest. Have you ever said to the Lord, what are you doing? You know why I feel great about that? Moses said that. something. King David said that like four times. Like, what are you doing? Because it's like, I don't get it. You're doing stuff and I'm not understanding what you're doing. And I'm trying to obey your commandments and I'm sorry for my sins. And I seem to be going deeper in a hole and I seem to be, things seem to be getting worse and nothing's getting any better. And I don't know why they, oy vey. And you're thinking, well, wait, but is there a reality that the evil people seem to get rich and the arrogant seem to get away with it? And I'm trying to follow the Lord and it's all becoming messy for me. Yeah, I think that's exactly where Job ended up. You know how everybody's super proud of Job for chapters 1 and 2? And even scripture, by and large, is pretty kind to the people in the past because they're, you know, chapter 1 and 2. Okay, did a great job. Chapter 3 through 32, Job whined more than I whine on a cold pizza that's delivered. I mean, that guy was like, cursed the man who announced my birth. I haven't even done that. That's pretty good. That guy's going deep. I never should have been born, and may that guy never exist. And may everybody involved never exist. He was 30 chapters. He was whining. I mean, that guy was whine. And Boone's Farmy whine. Whine, complaining, terrible. And the reality check is that when things don't go the way that we perceive and we don't get it, that's a typical response. You'll hear me talk a lot about this. I mean, if all things work together for good, how can you not be thankful for all things? It's just illogical. 2 + 2 = 4 in every belief system there is. 2 apples and 2 more apples make 4 apples. Thanks. And being aware that God works everything for good gives you cause to be grateful. That's it. That's all you got. But when we come back, I want you to look at what David said in the Psalms. Because if you think you can relate to any of that, when you hear what David said, when I read this to you, you're going to go, wowzer, how true is that of me? And hopefully it'll help you take the next step up. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We'll be right back.
Is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has 3 children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Am I not saved? Am I saved one day? I'm not saved the next day? Am I kind of saved? Am I kind of not saved? How come I don't feel saved? I feel saved. Now I don't feel saved. And why are tacos going up? Those are the questions you're asking. Okay, so the horses go on these races. The Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont Stakes. If they win, they get to then race in the Triple Crown. And what the Triple Crown is, for those that don't know, it's the first horse to Jack in the Box.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Then they complained to Moses against Moses and Aaron, and they said it had been better for us to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Their theory in that thought process is they're thinking it'd be better for us if we just died in the wilderness or back in Egypt where we know where things were at, as opposed to going to a new land and being consumed by these big people. This is a terrible idea. There's some commentators that believe that their complaining really has to do with they thought it would be better to die over time in the wilderness or over time in Egypt versus going to the land and being immediately killed by these big people. And they were bumming. And look what they said. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? How quick we forget what the bondage is once you're out. Oh, how quickly do you forget the bondages that God brought you through once you're away from it? Like, I don't remember being that bad.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 1,500 different ways to reach the show. The one that I would not suggest is you going on top of your roof and going, "Hey, Dave," because I probably won't hear you. That's my theory. We're going to get we've just been talking. By the way, you can go to Facebook, type in the David Spoon Experience, YouTube, David Spoon Experience. Pretty soon, David at the David Spoon Experience. A lot of David Spoon Experience stuff going on here.
You've got to tell us about the lightning strike.
Okay. So I'm going to, before I finish this teach, I want to tell you about this lightning, because we were talking about lightning, you did a lightning powered. Can you,
right.
Are you able to do that sound again? Is that in the, is it in the? Just before I finish the teaching, I just want you to understand, we're talking about, you know, people that get to this place where they're mad, they don't understand, they're, you know, like, what have I gained by obeying you? What's the point in serving you? Everybody who's arrogant's getting whatever they want, the evil people are getting rich, and so there's a response that David gives. I was teaching along these lines in Flagstaff, Arizona one time. Now, for those that are not familiar with Flagstaff, Arizona, it sits at 7,000 or 5,000 feet elevation. Sorry, not 7,000. I lived in Dillon. That was 7,000. That's Colorado. It's Dillon and Silverthorne. So anyway, in Flagstaff, it's, you know, it's high up there. It's not – oh, no, you know what? Actually, Flagstaff is 7,000. It's Prescott that's 5,000. I keep getting that mixed up. Anyway, so I'm there, and I'm teaching, and it's nighttime. And we were in a church that was a former bar that we had converted into a church, which the city council was none too thrilled about, but we got that through, so because that's what the Lord wanted. And so it was painted kind of like a grayish blue on the floors, had these old white ceilings and the old – and I'm sitting there, and I'm preaching. And, man, you know there's bombastic teachers out there. Okay, well, I'm one of them former. I used to be kind of a bombastic teacher. And, in fact, I've actually taken things and thrown them across the sanctuary and freaked people out. I'm, you know, it's not just dramatic. Sometimes I get all emotional and caught up. So one time we are in there preaching, and I'm preaching. I'm preaching. And I just made these startling statements that – it's not that they weren't biblical. You just got to be careful when you say certain things. And I go, you know what? You know what? If God was here right now in this room, right this second, everybody's just really like holding their breath. I said, right now, if he's here right now, he'd say, yes, that is so exactly that way. And I looked at everybody. And at that second, the loudest lightning crack took place. Just outside of the sanctuary, and everybody was looking at me, and I was looking at everybody, and I'm trying to figure out what to do from this moment on, because I know I got to be careful here. And I went, see? See? That's proof. Yeah. I didn't say it was genius. But, you know, a prop is a prop. So anyway, so the idea is to understand that sometimes you got to be careful about stuff like that. Let's go back and understand from a teaching point of view what we're talking about. People are like, why do you do stuff like that? I don't know. It's built into me. I don't know. I didn't ask God. I'm just thankful to be saved. So what is it that we need to take away from Malachi talking to these people going, okay, God, all right, come on. I mean, serving you, what is that getting us? What are we gaining by obeying your commands? And what advantage do we have being sorry for our sins? I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, the evil people are getting rich, and it's the people that dare you to punish them. They never get punished. Well, there's a psalm that relates to this. You think? Yeah, of course there is. Actually, it's a psalm of Asaph, but it's in that booking. It's in the book three, the sectioning books. It says this, Psalm 73, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Mm-hmm. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from common human burdens. They're not plagued by human ills. Their pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous heart comes iniquity. Their evil imaginations have no limit. They scoff and speak with malice. With arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouth lays claim to heaven. Their tongue takes possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them, drink up the water in abundance, and they say, how would God know? Does the Most High know anything? You see how these people are really Meshuggah people, right? This is the psalmist writing about them. This is what the wicked are like, always free of care. They go on amassing wealth. This sounds exactly like the Malachi scenario. It's like, all these people are getting away with everything. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been afflicted, and every morning brings new punishments. Do you ever feel like that? Like, yeah. Well, it's Monday, so the odds are better you're going to feel that way a little bit today. If I had spoken out the way they do, I'd have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. Until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Oh, wait, what? The psalmist goes on, just exactly the way that Malachi is talking about the people and their attitudes towards the Lord and how they're like, oh, well, I don't get anything good happen to me. And it's like banging my head against the wall. And all those people that can't stand God are multimillionaires. Do you see all those people doing all those social things and making all that money? And all those people who are acting who have no talent? That's only about 90% of them. And they get out there and they do all this acting and they make millions and millions of dollars. And it's like so unfair. They all get away with whatever. Until I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their final destiny. All right. Does that mean every actor is bad? No. Does that mean every social network person is bad? No. Come on. Stop doing that. Stop being legalistic. The idea is to understand that on this side of eternity, we go through worse. You think, well, there's people that preach that we should be blessed. You're blessed if God's making you look like Jesus. That's a blessing. You want to know why that's a blessing? Because that will carry you in reward through eternity. Now, I'm not a math genius. I have a couple degrees, but I don't have so many degrees that I'm like a Dr. Fahrenheit kind of guy. I'm not a math whiz. But if I can get an investment that gives me the longest return at the highest possible amount, that would be what I would want to get. I don't have to be a scholar. I want it to give me the most return, and I want it to last the longest. Well, when God makes me reflect Jesus Christ more and more, that works its weight in eternal gold, and God's giving me the very thing I want. It's just not about this 60, 70 years. It's about all of it. The psalmist goes on to say, surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they're destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. They are like a dream when one awakes. When you arise, Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. In other words, when it dawned on me that I'm bitter, I'm being a bitter Betty or a bitter Barney because of what's going on all around me, then the psalmist said, I realized I'm a dummy. You think, well, that's not what it says. That's exactly what it says. I was a brute beast before you. What do you think the psalmist is trying to say? He's trying to say, I was a dumb, like a dumb animal. That's me, because I was mad at you because I was bitter in my spirit because I don't like what I'm seeing going around me, and I think I should be getting better and doing better, and where's my lotto numbers? And if you think I'm just talking to you, you're nuts. I say the same thing, Lord. I've said to the Lord, I'm doing your work. What more do you want? I won't even tell you the responses that I've gotten, but sufficient to say this. Do you think the disciples were in the perfect will of God when they were with Jesus and Jesus said, okay, let's get in the boat and let's go to the other side? And they went, okay. And they all got in the boat and they went to the other side. Do you think they were in the perfect will of God? I say yes, because they were doing exactly what Jesus said. What happened when they were in the boat going to the other side? When they were in the boat with Jesus, what happened? A storm came. Well, if you're in the perfect will of God, you won't find any obstacles. I'm sorry. Was Jesus in the perfect will of God? Because in the perfect will of God, he was crucified. So you're not telling me that you don't go through any, right? You're not saying that, right? You're not going down that road, are you? Yeah, the Lord wants to bless you, but more so for eternity than in any other capacity. It's not that the Lord won't bless you in the land of the living, but in 100 million years, the land of the living isn't going to be here. You get that? And so when the psalmist walks into the sanctuary, he goes, oh, whoops. Yeah, I'm going to live forever in fellowship with God, and it's going to be awesome. And those other people that are arrogant towards God are not. Let's see, 80 years, 8 trillion years, 80 years, 8 trillion. Okay, I go 8 trillion. And that's not eternity. That's the funniest part. So when you're going through the worst of the worst of the worst, and everybody goes through the up and down, through many tribulations, one enters the kingdom of God. Keep your eye on the real prize. We talked about this before. You'll hear me say it again. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. He did it because of what was set before him. Got that? Oh, that's so crucial to catch. All right, take a short break. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has 3 children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No. I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
It's because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait. I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy, too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now, and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
The David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right, I've told you a couple of times, if you want to go to YouTube, you can go there and type in, Spoon Experience, David Spoon Experience, anything like that. We got, I think we had like six things up. One of those, though, is a pretty good address. Address. It's so close. To people who are Christians, Bible-believing, born-again Christians, for those that are pro-Trump and Christians who are anti-Trump. I take a two-minute Christian perspective on that, and I think a lot of people who have heard it have gone, yeah, that's pretty true. So I'll give you a chance to check it out. You may really dislike it, or you may really like it. I am not sure. Plus, then I make a kind of a sarcastic-y comment on the Mueller thing. I did that before the report came out. So I'm just, you know, as though that report was going to change one person's mind. That's so funny. That's pretty funny. And then don't forget, if you go to Facebook, you type in David Spoon Experience, and you also go to either davidspoon.com or spoonexperience.com. And then the forthcoming email, david@spoonexperience, should be up like tomorrow. When I go and talk to GoDaddy and say, how come this didn't work? Then they go, we didn't charge you enough. That's always fun. So I do want to say hello to Jennifer, who's on the board taking control for us as we do this.
Yay!
Yeah, see, it's already fun having you. See, are you already having a good time yet? Are you having one good
time? I'm trying.
Okay. You looks like you're doing great. So, sounds great. Last thing I want to talk about today is spiritual warfare. Because I know that as a Christian, nobody has spiritual warfare. Nobody that's a Bible-believing, born-again Christian has a spiritual warfare that is breathing here on earth. Everybody does, right? Why? Well, because when you said yes to one kingdom, you know what you did? You said no to another kingdom. And hopefully this week we'll talk about judgment, because every time you make a decision, there's a judgment involved. You can't judge. Okay, I won't turn left. I won't turn right. I won't go straight. I won't move. You know, when you voted for a president, you made a judgment, just so you can know. We'll get into that another time. There's no way to escape it when you went to McDonald's and said, give me a number one, which is the Big Mac, or give me a number, I think nine is the filet of fish. I can't remember. I think it's nine.
Ooh.
Ooh. So that would be you making a judgment. somehow Filet-O-Fish got better than a Big Mac, which that might just involve the need for counseling, not anything else.
Yeah, how do you choose the Filet-O-Fish over a Big Mac?
I don't.
Come on.
It's not even real.
It's not even real.
But you know what is fantastic about the bun? The bun on the Filet-O-Fish is just so, because they got all the butter on it.
We'll just eat the bun, I guess.
Yeah. So you get the Filet-O-Fish without the fish or
there
the cheese or anything else. And then say, now slip a hamburger in there. See? Then you've got the best of all worlds.
You sure do.
That's how you do it. So spiritual warfare is something that takes place on a regular basis. What is the real intent? We're going to get into the armor and talk about that. But I think what people fail to realize on a regular basis is there is somebody who is on this planet that you don't see manifest, although often comes as an angel of light, and has only a few desires in his entity, one of which is to make life miserable for those that believe in the testimony regarding Jesus Christ, those that have taken on the name of Christian. And the idea, if you look at Revelation chapter 12, you'll see that Satan, the intent of Satan is to make war with believers. And there's some who will say, well, that really doesn't apply to today's believers. My only comment to that is, really? You really don't think Satan's making war with you? He's so good, you don't even know it. That's how good he is. And good at what he does, so to speak. Remember, he's been working against mankind from the garden. And so what are some of the things that the enemy will tend to try and do? We know he's called a thief, referred to as a thief in John 10:10. But we do understand that what his goal is has a lot to do with distraction and frustration and disappointment. And what the enemy wants to do is wrap you up in a box and put you in a bow and set you to the side. That's what he wants. Now, he's not going to get what he wants. And for those that aren't really sure how it works, consider that Satan had to ask God for permission, not just to attack Job, as a lot of people will say, but Jesus also said, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat to Peter. It's not just the Old Testament, New Testament too. And the idea, an idea there is that the enemy hates you. He just hates you. There's no, you can't sugarcoat that. He just hates you. You said yes to God. You said, I believe, in reference to Jesus Christ. He hates you. What did the demons do when they knew it was Jesus coming? They shrieked, don't burn us before the time. Don't cast us away before the time. They're going to lose. They know they're going to lose. It's too late. Stuck in sand, so we're stuck in cement, so to speak. But the enemy is going to do whatever he can to make your life as difficult as he can. And you don't have to be one of those people that sees a demon behind every rock, because I don't like that either. You know, oh, look, a bird flew and went over my car right after I, you know, got it washed. And now that's Satan. Or that was a bird going over your car after you got it washed.
It always happens.
Yeah. But, you know, and I got to remind you, I'm going to tell you something really funny about that. But what the enemy does is get you so frustrated in it that he encourages that frustration to go deeper. It's not like he made the bird go over your car, but he sits there and goes, can you believe it? Nothing goes your way. Everything goes wrong. Everybody's against you. See, that's where it is. That's where it goes. In regards to cars, I've washed my car twice in Texas. Twice. I can't hear you. Got to talk up.
What? And how long have you been in Texas?
A year and a half.
Twice in a year and a half.
Yeah. In both instances, it rained the next day.
Oh, see, that'll teach you.
So I'm working on the dirt car.
The dirt car.
My theory is just keep it going.
Yeah.
But the idea to understand is that the enemy, he doesn't just – he accelerates what's not going good, accentuates what's not going good, highlights everything that's bad. And the reason that that takes place is because that frustration then builds up in you, and that's what separates you from the Lord, is you buy into that and you go, oh, yeah, this is bad. I've done this wrong, or this is this, or God's not helping me. And all because a bird went over your car. You see, the idea is to understand that that's part of the warfare. There's a lot of people that talk about Armageddon, and we're going to most likely see one of the most devastating battles take place. But you cannot neglect the daily battle that takes place between your left ear and your right ear all day long. And every decision you make for the kingdom of God is an advancement, and the kingdom decisions you make for the kingdom of the enemy is not an advancement for the kingdom of God. And when the enemy drops something in your lap and you hold on to it, that's where you talk about James, and we'll talk about this in a teaching where we talk about the process of sin. You know, it's not a sin to have that initial thought. The sin is keeping that thought, building upon that thought, and building a monument to that. Now you're talking sin. You know how sin has to conceive, and then when it's full-blown, it gives birth, and then from birth it creates death? Well, all that's because we let it live. The only abortion that's a good abortion is sin in your mind when it starts. When the enemy sits there and tells you that the person next to you is X, Y, and Z, and you buy into that, and then goes the next point, and the next point, and the next point, and the next point, and the next point, soon you're into this weird engagement where every point builds on another point, you're on the deficit side of that warfare. And he's real good at it. He's done it from our original mom and dad all the way down. Only one did not succumb. His name is Jesus Christ. That's why he's the only one that can save us. He's the only one that can redeem us. That's the great irony of all, is the only person that can fully represent God and man is somebody who is fully God and fully man. Not half God, half man. Fully God and fully man. And Jesus, in his walk on this planet, was able to make the connection on the divide that was created in the garden. And through Jesus Christ, the restoration of that fellowship with God comes to fruition. So if you're a person out there and you're like, I used to, you know what? You know what the right thing is. Nobody has to tell you anything. Go home. Go back to the Lord. Be like the prodigal. Go home, talk to your dad, get it right, acknowledge it. I don't know if you have to rehearse a speech. He did that. That wasn't that great. Started going to his speech. His dad didn't even pay attention. Just make it right before the Lord if you're struggling that much. He's there, man. He's never not been there. There's a problem between you and heaven. It's not on heaven's side. It's on your side. Okay. All right. We're going to take a 23-hour break and then come back with more Insanity with Spoonanity. We hope you have a fantastic rest of the Monday. God bless you. Talk to you tomorrow.
Destroying everyone and everything he finds. He's the hungry giant. He's the hungry giant.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.